God, may your word speak to us this morning, challenge us and encourage us in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. What is it that makes a job enjoyable, a home a good one, makes a church that people want to belong to, that makes for a happy life, that can change a person's mind towards the truth, and that can change a person's habits for the better? Well, in the end, the answer is good relationships. Good relationships with other people, but fundamentally a good relationship with God Himself. And that's why the Bible, and particularly the New Testament, is so full of instruction about good relationships, about how we should get on with each other and get on with God. In 1 Peter chapter 2, we looked last week at some of the instructions that Peter gives about submitting to the instituted authorities, showing proper respect, showing love for your sisters and brothers, fearing God, and honoring the emperor, honoring government. It talks in Peter about slaves submitting to masters, even if they are harsh. It talks about wives being submissive to their husbands, and we're certainly not going to go there this morning. But especially with the idea of winning them, both the slaves and the wives, it is the idea of winning one's master, or in the case of wives, one's husband. And it also talks about husbands in the same way being considerate to your wives. So it works in both directions. And now finally, in chapter 3, verse 8, or perhaps more accurately, in summary, Peter gives a list of the things that we need to strive for. And the first thing he mentions is living in harmony. And the idea there is of being of one mind. Now, this is not uniformity. Obviously, the people Peter was talking to, some were slaves, some were husbands, some were wives, some were masters, and so on. So they had different positions in life, different functions, different roles in life. But it is, harmony is being, is having a cooperation in diversity. In Christian fellowships, Christians may differ on how things must be done, but they should agree on what is to be done and why it should be done. Living in harmony. And that harmony is based around, I believe, the Word of God, the instructions that God gives to us for living, and the mission that God gives to us as His people. The second thing is be sympathetic. A little girl was returning home late from an errand, and her mother was a little worried and asked her where she'd been. She said she'd met a friend who was crying because her doll broke. "So you helped fix it," said her mother. "Oh no," she said, "I stopped to help her cry." We are to rejoice with those who rejoice, and we are to mourn with those who mourn. And we know from 1 Corinthians 12 that when one suffers, particularly in the body of Christ, then all do. If one part is honoured, then everybody rejoices in that. This is the oneness, this is the harmony, but it's also that sympathetic way of relating to others. And all of this really comes under the cover, doesn't it, of love as brothers and sisters. I know brothers and sisters who might misunderstand this entirely, but quite differently to the way it's intended. But what it means, of course, is to be as those who share common rebirth in Christ Jesus. That is, who are born of the Spirit, who belong to the same family, those who share a common goal and a common purpose, those who stick up for one another and defend each other, who believe the best of each other, who help each other and pray for each other, even when others do the wrong thing. Love as brothers and sisters. Also, be compassionate. I suppose that's as opposed to being indifferent. And one of the greatest examples of compassion, of course, is the story that Jesus told of the Good Samaritan, who took the time to look after the injured person who was in effect an enemy, and yet took time to look after him and paid for his upkeep and cared for him. As against the priests and the Levites, who were indifferent, partly because of their, probably because of their own personal pressures, but they were indifferent to the need. Be compassionate. Reach out to those who are in need, even those who we may not like or who we consider our enemies. Also, be humble. Not always an easy thing to do, particularly if something has gone particularly well for us. There's a story goes that I noticed that on TV just lately, there's going to be a program on Muhammad Ali. And the story goes that he was once asked, when he got on a plane, to fasten his seatbelt because the plane was about to take off. And he came back to the stewardess, "Superman don't need no seatbelt." And the stewardess replied, "Superman don't need no airplane either." And he fastened his seatbelt. Now, at times we may need to remind ourselves of who we are and of our own limitations. There was an old rancher who asked what he attributed his success to. And he answered, "Oh," he said, 50% the weather, 50% good luck, and the rest is all brains." Now, we might say that the successful Christian life is 99% God, 1% the help of others, and the rest is all my own doing. Humility, of course, is the absence of arrogance, even when you are right and even when you know it. Arrogance says, "I know better than you, I am better than you, and your opinion is not important." We always have to remind ourselves of those things, myself included. There are times when we must speak the truth, but there are ways of conveying it which can be helpful or unhelpful. We are to speak the truth as Christian people to one another, but we're to speak it gently. Another thing that Peter mentions is, do not repay evil for evil, but repay it with a blessing. And this is the hardest, one of the hardest lessons, I think, for us. Our instinct is either to retaliate or simply to walk away. But to return something like that with a blessing is something different. It sets us apart as different. Repaying evil for good is, of course, the mark of the devil. Repaying evil for evil is the mark of the world. It's the way the world works. But repaying good for evil is the mark of God. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Live then as a people who trust in God's justice. Peter indicates that by responding in love, people can be won over. Remember Stephen when he was dying and he asked forgiveness for those who were stoning him. And amongst the crowd who were watching was one Saul of Tarsus who was looking after the coats. And it says that Saul agreed with what was going on with Stephen's stoning. But of course God answered Stephen's prayer. And that onlooker who was looking after the coats, Saul of Tarsus, became Paul, the apostle. Especially remember the Lord Jesus, who did show sympathy and love and compassion and humility, and who said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." This is the way of blessing. Peter quotes Psalm 34 in 1 Peter 3:10. He says, "For whoever would love life and see good days, to live in the way that God wants you to, guard your tongue, do good, seek peace." Guard your tongue, do good, seek peace. And then God will also hear you. By and large, says Peter, you won't suffer harm for doing good. If you do the right thing, generally you won't suffer too much harm. But even if you do, and of course there are notable exceptions in this world, you are still blessed, says Peter. You're not blessed because of what is happening to you necessarily, but you are blessed because you stand as a child of God. Remember the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You're in good company if you are suffering for the sake of Jesus Christ. And it's a realization that should not encourage us to ignore this life, of course, but to be able to face this life with joy. To be able to face threats and then not to become fearful. Think about what a good day means to you. When do you feel most blessed? When things usually are going well, when everything falls into place, when the weather's fine and you feel on top of the world. And then think about this. Think about Paul and Silas when they were in prison in the Acts of the Apostles. What were they doing there? They were singing praise to God, weren't they? In the middle of the prison. The prison burst open and the jailer gets saved, and there are all sorts of things happen that come out of that. Remember when Peter and the apostles were flogged in Acts chapter 5. And they went out rejoicing because they were found worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus. They went out rejoicing from the flogging because they were found worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus. Now you might say, oh, I could never be like that. But notice that's the same Peter who fled from the garden of Gethsemane, who denied Jesus to save his own skin, but then was prepared to suffer and to rejoice in it. We are called by God to live as brothers and sisters, united in Christ, and sometimes to do great and difficult things in his service. And to achieve this, we do indeed need the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, the one who stands alongside us, whom Jesus promised in John chapter 14 in our Gospel reading. We also need the help of our sisters and brothers in Christ. We need to be upheld by each other as the body of Christ, as a family in Jesus Christ. There was a guy called Philip Anderson who wrote of visiting a hospital in California, and there was a child who was crying there. The child was only 1 year old, and the child was covered in scratches and bruises and scars, and there were obscenities that had been written on its legs. There were cigarette burns on its feet. And the sister picked up the child and held it very close. And at first it screamed all the more because it was very suspicious of being touched by anybody. But slowly and surely, he said, in spite of the wounds and hurt and abuse, the graphic result of sin, eventually it felt no need to cry anymore and settled down. We are surrounded by a world that is hurting from one thing or another. Very often people within our own congregations are hurting for one reason or another. But here amongst the people of God, they need, in fact we all need, to find compassion and sympathy and love and cooperation and humility, which are the marks of our Lord Jesus Christ. Glad to see that I see a lot of that happening in this congregation, in these congregations. May we be encouraged to continue in that. May we know that what it means to be born into God's family by his Spirit. And may we allow the Spirit to permeate and influence every part of our lives. You might feel that you're ready to do that even today. To take another step, to ask the Holy Spirit to fill you and to fill you with the fruit of his Spirit. Here is an opportunity then in the moments that follow for you to come and perhaps to seek prayer for any matters that we've just spoken about. Down below the pulpit here there'll be a couple of people to pray. But otherwise, a time for you in the quietness that follows to simply recommit your life to God, to ask Him to fill you with His Spirit, that you may have, that we may have, the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.